Welcome to the Weekend Stakes Preview on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Naira Betts.
As the field comes off the turn and enters the stretch, three quarters went in 1, 10, and 2. And it is still Summer Romance with the lead. Summer Romance leads by 2. Here comes Altica now rallying down at the rail. And then it is Daddy is a Legend and Regal Glory on the outside. Here is Altica to take over in deep stretch. And it is the English bred Altica to beat the Irish bred Summer Romance. And the official Long Jeans time for the mile on the widener. 1:33.45.
Now, here's Anthony Stabile and Bobby Newman.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Weekend Stakes Preview, the first from Saratoga Springs in 2021, presented by Naira Betts here on HRRN. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile in Saratoga. Bobby Newman out of Prairie Meadows getting ready for the Friday action in Altoona, Iowa. Producer Lee Delapina back in our Lexington, Kentucky studios. 14 stakes for you. Opening weekend at Saratoga and Del Mar. What a time to be alive in horse racing, Bobby Newman.
Yeah, this is really the best time of year. Well, maybe not the best time of year, but as good as it gets. You know, you may prefer Breeders' Cup week or Kentucky Derby week, but hey, when you have opening weekends at both Saratoga and Del Mar, everyone's got a smile on their faces.
Yes, and supposed to have some rain here in Saratoga this weekend. Keep an eye to the sky. Keep an eye to the weather forecast. As two of the three stakes that we'll cover from Saratoga this weekend, the first of 20 grade ones of Diana and that Coronation Cup on Sunday, they're both on the turf. The Diana, I would be hard for me to imagine them moving the Diana, but we'll see what happens Sunday. We also have the Sanford for the two-year-olds tomorrow. Tons of great action. You can play it all over at NairaBets.com. Head on over to open an account. HRN200 is the promo code. Deposit match for the $200 in the first 2 weeks. While you're there, the bankroll builder for the Travers, I love these promotions. I'm a big fan of these promotions. You have to opt into the promotions now, our promotions over at NairaBets now. With this promotion tomorrow, you bet exactly 50 to win on one horse in any or all of the selected races. It's a grade one every weekend. Diana tomorrow, Coaching Club American Oaks on the 24th, Jim Dandy on the 31st. Well, it's not a grade one, that's a grade two. Whitney on August 7th, Four Star Dave on August 14th, Alabama on August 21st. Bet 50 to win. Bet exactly 50 to win. And win or lose, you get $20 in your account for the Travers. So if you bet all six, you have $120 waiting for you Travers weekend. Head over to NairaBets.com to build your bankroll for that run happy Travers. You got to opt in to that promotion. Please do not forget to opt in to that promotion. NairaBets.com for more details. All right. Let's get into the action, Bobby. What do you say? Plenty to go over. We'll start at the Spa. The Sanford goes as race number 9 on an 11-race Saturday card. Grade 3 for the 2-year-olds. They'll go 6 furlongs on the main track. Full field of 12 in here. Impressive-looking debut winner, Wit, kicked things off on Belmont Stakes Day with a fantastic last-to-first move after breaking slow. 2-5 shot. Looked like he was stealing money with Wit. Makes his second start. Stretches out to the 6 furlongs for Todd Pletcher. And Gerardo Ortiz Jr., who was supposed to ride first time out, was injured. Brother Jose subbed. The ride gets back.
And Witt certainly looks like he's going to be a heavy favorite in this spot. He's 8-5. I would say if you're looking to bet Witt, you're not going to get close to that. He seems to be, you know, the horse that everyone was talking about early on. And as far as 2-year-olds going. Now, to be honest, I don't know what he beat that day. He won by 6. He was probably 12 lengths better than that field. But this is a much tougher field, I believe. And although Witt certainly has to be used, and I can certainly understand him winning this race, I think number 2, Candy Landing, is an interesting prospect in here for Brendan Walsh and Jimmy Graham. Very impressive in his debut at Churchill Downs, where he was battling for the lead through fast fractions. He kicked on to win by 4.5 lengths that day in a big field of 9. Went pretty fast to 103-3 for 5.5 furlongs. He should be better as the distances get longer, being by Twirling Candy out of a Rush Bay mare. And if Witt's a step slow out of the gate from post one this time, one of the horses he'll probably have to pass is number 2, Candy Landing. And that may be easier said than done. So I'm going to go with the mild upset here. I like number 2, Candy Landing. I would use both 1 and 2 in my horizontal plays.
All right, so Candy Landing, he was the second horse for me. I just thought Wit was too much for them. Son of Practical Joke, I thought he was too good in his debut. Ottoman Empire interests me as well. He broke his maiden going 5/8 for Tom Amos first time out. Made up a lot of ground. Passed a lot of horses. Now, Jimmy Graham rides Candy Landing, but Jose Ortiz winds up on Ottoman Empire. So I picked the race 127. I thought Witt was going to be really tough, but if you want a price alternative, maybe it's Ottoman Empire. Race number 9 goes as the grade 3. Sanford, $150,000 on the line. The Diana goes as race number 10, the first of 20 grade 1 stakes this summer at Saratoga. 9 furlongs on the inner turf course, a field of 8. Chad Brown is looking for win number 7 in the Diana and his 6th in a row. He got his first grade 1 ever in the Zagora, with Zagora, back in the 2011 renewal. He's won the last 5. John Velasquez has won 6, including the 2018 and 2019 renewals for Chad Brown with Sister Charlie. They'll team up with the 2 Pocket Square. Got the first 2 finishes from the Just a Game, the Judmont duo of Summer Romance, the Speed, Althika, the Closer. And Chad has another one in Lemista, who was good to second to Harvey's Little Goyle, who's back in here in the Bogey last time out. Wide open renewal of the Diana.
Yeah, this is, unless you just really have a stance on one horse in this race, this is a total spread as far as I'm concerned. Just about everyone has a chance at winning in this race. Maybe Magic Attitude and Vigilante's Way would have to run better than they ever have, but they're really not that far behind. I'm going to lean towards number 8, Althika. She was very game, as you said, in the Just a Game, running down the other Appleby trainees, Summer Romance, that day. That was going 1 mile. Now they're going 1 1/8, although it is on the inner turf at Saratoga, so maybe a little bit tougher to close than what we saw last time out running at Belmont Park. But there is a little pace in the race. It looks like the longer distance should benefit Althika. And I just love the way she looked in the stretch in that Just a Game. So I put her on top, to be perfectly honest. I don't think she stands out over this crowd. She's just one of several that have a big chance. I think she'll appreciate the 1 1/8.
I went to Lemista, a filly who ran well for Chad Brown in the Bogey, going 1 1/16. I feel like a little bit more ground is going to be what she wants as well. She made up some ground in a paceless race in that Bogey. May have been best. She comes back. It's a little bit of a better pace scenario in here. There's not a ton of speed in the race, but with Summer Romance setting it for Althika, she sets it for all of them. So I went with Lemista. I think Harvey's Little Goyle is a filly that the 1 1/8 is probably going to be her best distance. I think she's versatile enough to win at other distances, but I think 1 1/8 is going to be her best distance. And then I think you got to use the 2 Godolphin fillies. You got to use Althika and Summer Romance. They ran well enough last time. Big Fig last time. We'll see how they react to that one. But I thought Lemista, all signs pointed to her improving second time in this country. She'll get some pace in here, and I think she'll get the job done. So Lemista for me, race number 10, goes as the grade 1. Diana will go back to Saratoga at the end of the program for that Coronation Cup on Sunday. Up at Woodbine, the Bellotti goes as race number 3. It's a race restricted to Ontario Stallion-sired horses. 6 furlongs on the all-weather. Up at Woodbine, field of 6, goes as race number 3.
And we've got a heavy favorite on the morning line in number 3, Artie's Princess, who really has been very, very good throughout her career up at Woodbine. In fact, 5 wins from 7 career tries on the synthetic surface at Woodbine. All of that damage coming in 2019 and 2020. She was bet down to 6-5 in the Grade 3 Whimsical in her 2021 debut last time out. and pressed the pace, just didn't have anything left down the stretch, and ended up fifth, beaten three lengths. So kind of a head-scratching performance for this daughter of Wee Miss Artie. A repeat of that last race would probably get her beat again at a short price, but maybe she'll improve. Second start off the layoff. Wesley Ward does very well in this situation. In fact, winning 27% of the time, second start off extended layoffs. If she shows up with her 2020 form, she's just better than this field. She can either show speed or stalk the pace. I think she will be pressing number one, Spanish Ballerina, and I look for Artie's Princess to take the lead at the top of the stretch, and no mistakes today, go on at a short price.
She's supposed to win. She's supposed to win, right? I mean, she is. I tried picking against her. I couldn't do it. I'll try and cold cock an exacta with a 5 Sav. It's going to be a chalky number, but Sav's had some success up there as well. Not as fast as the favorite, Artie's Princess. 3-5 for me, Artie's Princess over Sav in race number 3. The Bellotti at Woodbine. We'll go back to Woodbine for a Sunday feature as well. Right now, we'll take a break. When we come back, Arlington, their big summer festival day is a preview day tomorrow at Arlington. Del Mar opens, and of course, it's Haskell Day at Monmouth. They got 5 stakes. We'll cover the first of those 5 when we return. You're listening to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts here on HRRN.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Naira Betts. Sign up for Naira Betts today and take advantage of premier perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Naira Betts today with the promo code HRRN200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRN200. With Naira Betts, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NairaBetts.com.
Thoroughbred horse racing returns to the home state of Secretariat when Colonial Downs in Virginia conducts its summer season with a new afternoon racing schedule and minimum daily purses of $500,000. The season runs from July 19th to September 1st with racing every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m. Mark your calendars for Colonial Downs' signature event, the Grade 3 Virginia Derby, on Tuesday, August 31st. All races will be broadcast on TVG this summer. Colonial Downs now running Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday afternoons at 1:45 p.m.
Join HRRN every Saturday morning for the Equine Forum in its new 3-hour format. Mike Penna will bring you interviews with the biggest names in thoroughbred racing, as well as new features like In the Room with Sean Clancy, Unsung Heroes, Kurt Becker's Stroll Through Racing History, and more. The Equine Forum, the show that launched a network. Saturdays, 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern on Sirius 219 XM 201 and streaming live at horseracingradio.net.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts.
And the leader postulation is at the quarter pole, leading it by a length. The Rise, the guy in second. Jace's Solitude in third. Nakamura in fourth. Zulu Alpha fifth up on the outside. Henley's Joy sixth back toward the rail. Zulu Alpha is coming down the outside to try to catch postulation. Zulu Alpha, Nakamura between horses. Postulation still there to the inside. Zulu Alpha rallying for Tyler Gaffalione to win the TVG Elkhorn Stakes. Postulation at 35-1, a valiant effort finishing runner-up.
Our own Kurt Becker on the call of the Elkhorn. Zulu Alpha looking to get back to his winning ways in the Arlington tomorrow. At Arlington, welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts here on HRRN. Before we get back into the stakes action, it's time now for the Bloodhorse News Update. Look at the top headlines from Bloodhorse.com. Mary Lou Whitney Pavilion completed at Saratoga. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo announced July 15th the completion of the Mary Lou Whitney Pavilion at Saratoga Racecourse. 5,000-square-foot facility will replace a temporary tent used by backstretch workers for functions and dinners at Saratoga. The pavilion will serve as a permanent structure to be used during the Saratoga meet for those who live and provide care for horses through the season. Mary Lou Whitney and her husband, John Hendrickson, founded the Saratoga Backstretch Appreciation Program, which provides entertainment, food, movies, and language instruction to backstretch workers during the Saratoga meet. Mary Lou Whitney, along with her husband, John Hendrickson, was extraordinarily devoted to the well-being of the seasonal backstretch workers who are the backbone of the Saratoga Racecourse, and this new pavilion is a fitting tribute to their efforts, Governor Cuomo said. With the pavilion now complete, backstretch workers now have a permanent home for their services and entertainment they need and rightly deserve. John Hendrickson said Mary Lou was about elevating people, and the completion of this pavilion does that for the backstretch community. I know she would have been very pleased, and I cannot thank the governor enough in making this project a reality. NYRA CEO and President Dave O'Rourke goes on to thank the governor and Mary Lou for their contributions to the sport. That wraps up tonight's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. The new Blood Horse Plus is available through BloodHorse.com and provides exclusive content to subscribers, including a daily detailed stakes winner section, Fox Sports and Blood Horse branded weekly programs, showcasing the Thoroughbred industry's upcoming races and recapping recent stakes races, behind-the-scenes videos and interviews, on-demand access to deeper horse statistics, and more. That's the new Blood Horse Plus on BloodHorse.com. Upgrade today. Mary Lou would go. Mary Lou, the colors of the late Mary Lou Whitney would go on to win the Schuylerville later on yesterday afternoon. That was very, very fitting to have the first stakes race back with fans at Saratoga, a place that Mary Lou Whitney essentially saved. And Pretty Birdie took him gate to wire in the Schuylerville yesterday in the Eaton blue and brown, and it was really really a great thing to see yesterday, Bobby.
And those colors are so recognizable, and they have been for many, many years. I mean, there are no colors, really, if you think about, you know, major stables around the country, there are no colors that even come close to resembling that, where you say, well, are those the Mary Lou Whitney colors? I mean, they definitely stand out. That light blue with the brown, nobody's even close to that. And you know what? Nobody should be.
Well said. Well said. Well, we'll see what Dream Birdie does the rest of the meet here at the Spa. Out at Arlington, we are 4 weeks away from the Bruce D, the Beverly D, and the Richard D. Got a little bit of a preview day tomorrow. The Arlington goes as a grade three, race number six on the card. Kicks off the late pick three. Mile and 3/16 on the turf. Zulu Alpha has been installed as the 6-5 morning line favorite for trainer Mike Maker. David Cabrera is going to go ride. Switch comes off a third place finish in the Kentucky Turf Cup. That was back in September of last year. Haven't seen him since. He won three of his five starts for over $800,000 last year, and he was well on his way to being one of the top turf horses. Stubbed his toe a couple of times, missed most of the year. The now eight-year-old has earned already over $2.2 million in his career. I couldn't get past him tomorrow afternoon, Mr. Newman.
No, and he's been working a long, long time for his return to the races. He's actually raced twice already on the turf at Arlington in his career, and he wasn't nearly as good a horse back then, back in 2018, as he has been the last couple of years. Does have a win and a second place finish to his credit at Arlington. At least 12 works showing at the Churchill Downs Training Center for this race, and obviously this is a major prep for the Mr. D, a $600,000 purse coming up about a month from now. But this is still a graded race. It's a $100,000 purse. I would expect him to be ready to go. And you know what? He closes in a race where there looks like there should be some pace. Number one, Bet With Both Hands is fast. The 7 Busy Channel has speed. Even Background and Tut's Revenge could be forwardly placed. So it's hard to expect that somebody won't be closing in this race. And he's easily the best closer. I agree with you. I can't get past him. Zulu Alpha on top.
Yeah, couldn't get past them. Zulu Alpha for me, too. Race 6 goes as the Arlington. Race 8 goes as the Grade 3 Modesty, a prep for the Beverly D. It's run at the Beverly D distance of a mile and 3/16. Full field of 12 going to post in here. And at the very least, I thought this race was a little bit more wide open than that Arlington.
Oh, I think it's a lot more wide open. Of course, if you're going to take a, if you don't think Zulu Alpha is going to win, then that race is wide open as well. But even the morning line in this race tells you it's wide open. The morning line favorite, number six, Joy Epifora, for Ignacio Correas the fourth, coming off a second place finish in a higher level allowance race last time out. She's certainly one of the ones in here. I went with a different one, not really a screwball in here. 6-1 on the morning line for number three, Bramble Queen, for Mike Denny and Jareth Loveberry. She was making her first start off about a 7-month layoff when we last saw her in a real tough optional claiming allowance race over at Belmont Park, where she ran into stakes caliber Call Me Love that day. Call Me Love ended up winning by head. She's come back and won again since that race. So Bramble Queen only a length behind Call Me Love that day. I think she can improve. Second start off the bench. And she's another one that's run well at Arlington in the past. Two tries, a win, and a second place finish to her credit. I'm looking for a little bit more of a closing kick, second time off the layoff for Bramble Queen.
I'm going to try the 7 Family Way, who didn't have the cleanest of trips in her first start in America. Five-month layoff, came back and got a good ride from Tyler Gaffalione to get the money. Now she goes back to the mile on 3:16 instead of the distance she ran that first time. She's won her maiden at the trip. I don't think she has to be that far back either. Tyler Gaffalione rode her. He spends the summer in Saratoga. He rode her the first time for Brendan Walsh. Adam Beskitza climbs aboard. I think Family Way can get the money. I thought Naval Laughter. So Naval Laughter is a horse for Christopher Davis. She's run 3 times. She ran into a decent enough bunch of fillies in her debut as a 2-year-old back in November of 2019. We didn't see her for over a year and a half. She came back at Arlington in June, and she posted a 96 by her speed figure and won by almost 20 lengths. She was a quarter of a length shy, but won by 20 lengths. She came back in an off-the-turf race on the all-weather, and she ran an 82 speed figure just 3 weeks later. So I think that she's a little bit interesting getting to the turf for the first time. So I went 7-8, Family Way and Naval Laughter. Race number 8 goes as the grade 3. Modesty out of Del Mar, the grade 2 San Diego goes as race number 10, mile on the 16th. Traditional prep for the Pacific Classic later on in the meet. Get a field of 9 in here. I assume favoritism will flip-flop between Royal Ship and Express Train. Royal Ship's form a little bit better recently, just missed in the Grade 1 Gold Cup at Santa Anita by a head. Won the Californian over Country Grammar, who got the better of him last time. And Express Train was 4 lengths behind those two. But he's probably got an overall better body of work, Express Train. So I would imagine those two will fight for favoritism.
Yeah, and by the way, the outside runner, Haywood's Beach, is also entered Sunday in the Cougar, which is an extended distance race where he may actually be favored. So I wouldn't be surprised if Haywood's Beach scratches out of the San Diego and goes into the Cougar on Sunday. I agree with you. I think Express Train is the logical one to beat in this spot. I don't think he lays over Royal Ship, but I think I trust him a little bit more than Royal Ship. He's also run very well at Del Mar. 2 wins, a second place finish from 3 career tries over the main track at Del Mar. And last time out, he tried the mile and a quarter in the Gold Cup, which I, you know, used to be called the Hollywood Gold Cup, one of several races that was moved from Hollywood to either Santa Anita or Del Mar since Hollywood Park's demise. I'm not sure that a mile and a quarter is the best distance for Express Train, and you know, he'll have to worry about that in the Pacific Classic, but in the San Diego, he doesn't have to worry about it. It's a mile and a 16th. I think that's a better spot for him, and I think his good races make him the one to beat.
Okay. Yeah. I thought it was those two. I thought it was Royal Ship and Express Train, and I went to Express Train. I'd like to see Juan Hernandez get a little aggressive with him tomorrow. That's what I would like to see. Maybe not let him get too far behind Royal Ship. But we'll see how he's ridden. That's what I would do. I would get him in the game more. Express Train for me. Race 10 goes as the grade 2. San Diego. Monmouth Park. It's Haskell Day. Grade 3 matchmaker kicks off our stakes coverage. Goes as race number 5. Grade 3, $150,000 on the line. Mile and an eighth out of that newish turf chute. Always shopping. Tried cutting back into just a game. That didn't work. She'll try 9 furlongs tomorrow. Chad Brown has Great Island. Counter Risk Party. Juliet Foxtrot, who was upset at 1-2 in the Mint Juleps there. Another one for Chad, Nay Lady Nay, California Queen. So 4 of the 7 from the Chad Brown barn, but not your morning line favorite. Belongs to Brad Cox and Tyler Gaffleon.
Well, it's a race that's tough to figure out who's going to make the lead. Juliet Foxtrot can show speed. No Mercy Percy can show speed. Neither of them have to have the lead. I don't expect the pace to be real fast in here. But going a mile and an eighth, I think that distance fits number 2, Great Island, maybe better than most of these. She ran in the Grade 3 Gallarette last time out at Pimlico and had the misfortune of running into a race with Mean Mary and Vigilante's Way in there. Both of those females have come back to win in their subsequent starts, and Great Island was really not that far behind them. She was a length and a half behind Mean Mary, only a half a length behind Vigilante's Way. Either of them would be favored if they were in the spot, especially Mean Mary. She'd be sub-even money. Doesn't have to worry about them. I think Great Island will enjoy the mile and an eighth, and I'll look for Chad Brown to get the win in the Grade 3 matchmaker. By the way, the matchmaker, do you get a choice? The winner trophy and the Windstar Stallions that they can match with are Audible, Global Campaign, and Tom's D'Etat. That's a pretty nice little perk.
Nothing wrong with that at all. Nothing wrong with that at all. I remember when this race was run in Atlantic City. How about that?
I actually got to announce a race at Atlantic City Racecourse. Larry Letterman was the announcer there for many, many years, and it was one of those days. It was not, you know, when they were in their glory days. It was, you know, when they had that little meet kind of in the middle of nothingness, where there were very few people there, and I went out there and got to call a race, and it was fun. And of course, Larry Letterman, really one of the real characters in the game, especially in the announcing side.
Yeah, one of the first race callers I ever watched call a race in the booth was Larry Letterman in that very booth at Atlantic City Racecourse. Great guy, and a lot of good memories out at Atlantic City Racecourse. We'll take a break. We'll come back. More Monmouth Park. We're halfway home. We'll bring you the next 4 stakes for Monmouth, including that Grade 1 Haskell. You're listening to the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts here on HRRN.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Naira Betts. Sign up for Naira Betts today and take advantage of premier perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Naira Betts today with the promo code HRRN200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRN200. With Naira Betts, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NairaBetts.com.
The spring summer meet is just heating up at Gulfstream Park, with racing now through September 26th, Friday through Sunday. Look forward to the FTBOA Florida Sire Stakes Series starting July 31st. And stay in on the action from the comfort of your mobile phone with First Bet, the official app of Gulfstream Park. For 10 Palms reservations, stake schedules, or tips and analysis, visit GulfstreamPark.com. We are now fully open for public viewing.
Watch and wager on world-class racing from Woodbine Racetrack with Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday post times at 1:10 p.m. Eastern and a Friday post time of 4:50 p.m. Eastern. This weekend's races feature the Belayed Stakes for fillies and mares on Saturday and the Grade 2 Connaught Cup on Sunday. For more information on racing and handicapping, visit Woodbine.com. That's Woodbine.com.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts.
And here comes Mandaloon roaring down the center of the racetrack. Mandaloon is now up by a full length.
Dr. Jack down to the inside, in between them, Weyburn. Mandaloon is kicking on. Dr. Jack not going away. Weyburn is fighting back. Mandaloon, Weyburn. Here comes a resilient Weyburn to Mandaloon. Mandaloon, Weyburn. Mandaloon got it by a head. Weyburn come right back to get second. Dr. Jack and Brooklyn Strong in 1:44.3.
Mandaloon took down the Pegasus. We'll see if he can go back to the shore to take the Grade 1 Haskell tomorrow afternoon. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts here on HRRN. Big A, Bobby Newman, Travers Bankroll Builder over at NairaBetts.com. Go open a brand new account, HRRN200. It's the promo code. Deposit match up to $200 when you put in $400 in the first 2 weeks. Travers Bankroll Builder bet $50 to win on a horse in 6 graded stakes races leading up to the Travers, the Run Happy Travers. We'll tell you those races every week. Tomorrow, it's the Grade 1 Diana, the first of 20 Grade 1s. Win or lose, you get $20 back in your account for the Travers at thenairabets.com for more details. Race 8 at Monmouth on Saturday is the Monmouth Cup, Grade 3. Mile and an eighth. We'll start at the eighth pole. Past the stands and go once around. Field of 7 in here. And New York Traffic, beating it 4-5 in the Salvador Mile, gets Tyler Gaffalione in his boot for the first time. When Safi Joseph gives the New York Bred a leg up, gives Tyler a leg up on the New York Bred. Night Ops ships in for Brad Cox. Dr. Post, third in the Haskell last year to Authentic and New York Traffic, gets a pair of blinkers, gets his Lasix back. He was terrible on the mile the other day, on Belmont Day. And Bank It comes in off a romp on the Empire Showcase Day card at Belmont Park Memorial Day in the mud. Fun renewal of this Monmouth Cup.
Yeah, and as you said, I mean, there are several horses coming in off kind of puzzling performances. Dr. Post was bad. I mean, New York Traffic was terrible down the stretch in the Salvatore Mile. He looked like he should gallop on to victory, and he, at 4-5, gave it up pretty easily. So I don't know what to make of these horses. Horses like New York Traffic and Dr. Post have passed races that would win, but I don't know what you'd do off their last races. So I went with number 3, Night Ops, for Brad Cox and Florent Giroux. Good second in the Blame to Mighty Heart last time out. Mighty Heart came back and won again in his next start. Night Ops has really been running pretty well against horses like Silver State and Mighty Heart and Silver Dust, beating Snapper Sinclair last year. He's a pretty consistent horse. Most of his races put him in the hunt, and I just trust him a little bit more than the others. I don't think he's necessarily better than New York Traffic if that horse runs his good race, but I don't trust him to run that good race.
Dr. Post as well. How could you trust Dr. Post? I mean, that last race was, that Met Mile was bad. Now you could say, well, it was the Met Mile. And I picked him. I picked Dr. Post. Do I have any confidence in him? No. No confidence in him. In fact, I was thrilled to see that this was not part of the late pick 5. It kicks off the pick 6. They have a 20-cent jackpot wager. But I was glad I didn't have to get involved in a pick 5 here because I picked Dr. Post. I have zero trust in Dr. Post. I will say this. New York Traffic can absolutely win this race. Absolutely can win this race. It is very hard to endorse him off that last effort. Very difficult to endorse him off that last effort. He has to win that race last time. Has to win that race. And he didn't. So I'll try Dr. Post. I don't have a lot of confidence. Race number 8. Goes as the Grade 3 Monmouth Cup. There's an allowance race that kicks off the pick 5. And then we get to the Molly Pitcher. Grade 3, mile and a 16th on the main track. Field of 9 goes to Post. I don't know who they're going to make favorite in here. I wouldn't want to have to make a morning line for this race. They have Mrs. Danvers, the number 2, 3-1. I don't trust her for a quarter. Paco Lopez rides for Shug. She comes in off of a really poor effort down at Pimlico. I do wonder if her getting Lasix back is going to help her cause tomorrow, Bobby.
Yeah, she didn't get out of the gate very well that day, and she looks like a filly that really needs to be somewhat forwardly placed. I don't think she has to have the lead. I think she can pass other horses, but she can't have trouble early on and expect to win graded stake races. I put her on top, but I'm thinking the same way you are. This is as close to an all race for me in this pick five wager as we can get. And I'm going to pick Mrs. Danvers on top and probably hope that she doesn't win because she's going to be a short price, if not the favorite in the race. But I think the fact that she can run decently on the lead or stalking the pace is a good thing. And you mentioned she's getting Lasix back today, and she just may be a different filly with the Lasix than without.
So I like a little bit of a goofball in here, a little bit of a pet of mine. Number five, Bank Sting. Bank Sting, to me, her two best races have come going a mile. And she's my central banker out of a precise end there. This doesn't make a ton of sense that she's handled more ground. She's run on wet. She has won. I bet you don't see this too often. Fast, good, muddy, sloppy. She's won on all four in a row. She'll be on or close to the lead. And I like her as a little bit of a price in playing the pick five, and this kicks off the pick five. I would use the 1 hour Super Freak. I would use the 3 Vault. I would use the 5 Banks, and I would use the 7 Water White. I don't want any of anybody else. I don't want the rest of them. 1, 3, 5, 7. So almost the Louis Lazanero. All the odd numbers except the number 9, Reina Graceful Princess. 1, 3, 5, 7. I'll use to try to get a live Bank Sting, the top pick. 10-1 on the morning line in race number 10, the grade 3, Molly. Pitcher, race number 11, grade 1 United Nations, 1.38. It starts on the back stretch, 1.5 times around the turf at Monmouth Park. Field of 10 in here. Who do you like?
Well, I think this is a race, strangely enough, with this distance where there's going to be some pace. Epic Bromance and Winter's Back look like they need to go. Ocean's Map and Tribhuvan can show some pace. Kind of looks like number 1, Arklow, is going to get the pace he wants to run well. Now, he has run once at Monmouth in this race in the past. He was 6-5 last year in the United Nations and could muster no better than a 4th-place finish. But I think he's better than that, and making his 2nd start of the year, I just think he's going to get the pace that he wants. I know he likes this distance. I'm going to look for Arklow to get the winning run from well off the pace on Saturday.
I'm going to use the 1, 8, and 10. I think Masterpiece got a brutal ride last time. Javier Castellano just kept losing ground with this horse. Gets the Joel Rosario back. Joel rode him in that money allowance race that he won 2 starts back. He gets his Lasix back as well. I think this is something that was bothering this horse in his native. This is something that once he got the Lasix here in America, he got much better than he'd ever been. And to say he had a brutal trip last time, it's an understatement. And I love the rider change. So, Masterpiece for me. I'd use him. I'd use Tribhuvan. Favian Pratt's going to ride for the first time, and I would use the 1, Arklow, who makes a lot of sense, but I like Masterpiece tomorrow in that grade 1 United Nations. Race number 12 is the grade 1 Haskell, 1.8 for the 3-year-olds on the dirt. Wanted to spend a little time on this race, Bobby. We have some time to kind of dissect all of the runners in here. Second half 3-year-olds, now the second half of the season's underway. So it's a field of 7, but if we're being honest, the number 7, Basso, the number 5, Pick and Time, and the number 2, Anti-Gravity, would all be super, super upsetters. Would you agree with that statement?
I'm going to say if any of those 3 win, I lose.
Okay. So let's go backwards a little bit. The fourth choice on the morning line is Midnight Bourbon, who had a pretty good summer, had a pretty good winter into the spring, earned over $500,000, won the LeCompte to start the season. He's winless since taking that LeCompte. He held his own against horses like Hot Rod Charlie and Mandaloon. He ran well in the Preakness when he turned for home with the lead before getting run over by Ron Bauer. Midnight Bourbon makes his first start in just over 2 months. He's been training up at Saratoga, from Churchill to Saratoga. Paco Lopez is going to climb aboard. Paco Lopez almost upset this last year with New York Traffic. So a horse that has some speed. I wouldn't say Midnight Bourbon's without chance in here tomorrow.
No, he definitely has a chance. His speed figures say he has a chance. There are a few things going against Midnight Bourbon. One is the fact that Paco Lopez is aboard. And that is not to say Paco Lopez isn't very, very good. I think he's very good. But the fact that none of the guys who have ridden Midnight Bourbon in the past would give up whatever they're doing to ride him in the $1 million Haskell is very odd to me and is a bad sign. Number two, Midnight Bourbon is a horse that is probably not quick enough early to get the lead away from following steer Hot Rod Charlie. And he doesn't have quite as closing kick as a horse like either Hot Rod Charlie or Mandaloon. So it's just kind of in the middle there, and things think have to work absolutely perfect for him to beat this field. His speed figures say he can win, but I don't know if he can.
Fair enough. That's fair enough. Following C could be the most interesting of the three, quote-unquote, four contenders in this race. Following C has never run beyond 6.5 furlongs. Started his career at Bob Affert's barn. Broke his maiden second time out. He was rumored to be one of the better three-year-olds in the barn. Obviously, with his pedigree, he's by run happy out of a Spikestown mare. It does not cry out at a distance. It's more, I would think, on paper of a sprint pedigree. But this horse has been nothing short of sensational in his last two starts. An easy maiden win at Oaklawn, an easier allowance victory at Belmont Park. And this is a move from a barn in Todd Pletcher that you don't ordinarily see. Todd knows what we know. This horse has only made three starts. He's never been beyond 6.5 furlongs. I'll say this. Got Hot Rod Charlie in the race from post four. And Hot Rod Charlie has shown you, like Midnight Bourbon, that they both like the lead. They can't get the lead over Following C. And I think Joel Rosario will use that to his advantage. A lot of guys don't use the speed horses they ride to their advantage. Joel's not one of them. I think Joel will use the speed to his advantage, and I think he will try, at the very least, to take two of the choices in Hot Rod Charlie and Midnight Bourbon out of their game. Will it succeed? I don't know. I think it could succeed. I think taking those two horses out of the game, Hot Rod Charlie and Midnight Bourbon, it kind of isolates you down to Mandaloon, if that's your thinking. Either way, this horse is going to have a big future. Whether it's around two turns or one turn, that's what remains to be seen. He's my pick. I'm picking Following C because I think he's the fastest horse in this race. I don't know how far he's going to go, but I think he's the fastest horse. I like Following C in the Haskell tomorrow, Bobby.
Okay, I think Following C is also the fastest in the race, but I don't believe that he's bred to Router. I don't think it's going to be better than sprinting. For your sake and everyone betting him that I'm wrong, he will be in until they get to the top of the stretch, and then Hot Rod Charlie will ease on by him and go on to win.
All right, so you like Hot Rod Charlie. Let's talk about Mandaloon before we break down Hot Rod Charlie. If anybody's been affected by this whip rule at Monmouth. It could very well be Mandaloon, who Florent Giroux, his regular rider, has basically said, the first time I rode him without the whip, and, you know, he was all over the place. He still managed to get the job done. This is a horse who may eventually be your Kentucky Derby winner this year. I would imagine he's going to benefit from all of the paper pace that's in this race.
I don't know what to make of Mandaloon. I can't figure out whether I'm a believer or not in Mandaloon. I mean, I was far from impressed with his win in the pace last time out. So I think he's going to need a lot better if he win the Haskell. I think he's capable better. I just don't think we're going to get it.
All right. You like Hot Rod Charlie. Let's talk about him. My biggest problem with him is I feel like he's shown that his best races are when he's on the lead, and I don't see him getting the lead from following C.
Well, that may be true, but I don't think he has to have the lead to run well. And I think if he's pressing, isn't a pace, you know, it's kind of the same as being a lead. It's just, I believe following, he will get this distance against this crew. So I'm going on that theory.
All right. We'll see what happens tomorrow in that Grade 1 Haskell. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and we'll get some Sunday action your way as well. Listening to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts here on HRRN.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Naira Betts. Sign up for Naira Betts today and take advantage of premier perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Naira Betts today with the promo code HRRN200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRN200. With Naira Betts, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NairaBetts.com.
Racing is back at Colonial Downs July 19th through September 1st with top-class racing every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Large fields and premier dirt and turf courses will give bettors plenty of opportunities for great value and big payouts, and horsemen will love the average purses of $500,000 per day. With a beefed-up stakes schedule and generous guarantees for owners and trainers, Colonial Downs is the place to race and wager this summer. Learn more at ColonialDowns.com.
Joe Buck and John Smoltz welcoming you back to the City Center Convenience Mart. Well, John, the stage is set for the final transaction.
That's right, Joe. Heather's moment has arrived, and you just hope all that training pays off.
Heather lays down her purchase, but Randy rings it up as slowly as he can.
He is a wily veteran.
It gives Heather's eyes the chance to wander.
Uh-oh.
Yep, she's looking at the cigarettes.
There's nothing good back there. Quit now, and in 5 years, your odds of getting certain cancers drop 50%.
Meanwhile, Randy's stone-faced. He's giving nothing away. He just stands there, wetting his cashier's finger on that sponge.
Heather toes the rubber.
Here we go. Heather's arm is in motion. But instead of pointing at the back wall, she just grabs the gum off the counter.
That's a slick move.
Heather, back, back, back. She is out of there. Even Randy tips his cap to Heather. Stand Up to Cancer and Rally wants you to reduce your risk for cancer.
Go to takeahealthystand.org.
Hi, this is jockey Brian Hernandez. For me, there's no bigger thrill than crossing the finish line in front, and nobody captures the excitement of our sport like Horse Racing Radio Network. Each week, HRRN brings you exclusive talk shows, podcasts, and in-depth conversations with the biggest names in racing, jockeys, trainers, owners, and more. Plus, HRRN is committed to helping disabled riders through their support of the PDJF. So climb aboard a winner today by visiting horseracingradio.net.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts.
Tis a magician on the outside, puts his head in front. Zestful will have to counter. He's now a half length behind. Lure him in third and then Ronimo, top of the stretch. Tis a magician, well off the rail, puts away Zestful and lure him in, chasing in the center of the track. But it's a dominant performance for Tis a Magician. Opening up in the Tokyo City Cup. He's in front by 6 lengths past the 16th pole and hearing it from the crowd. Tis a Magician and Flavien Prat win by about 8 lengths. Zestful second. Lure him in, finish there. Welcome back. Saratoga Sunday. Rain is coming. Looks like winter was coming in Game of Thrones. Rain is coming. So we'll keep an eye to the sky for the Coronation Cup on Saturday, on Sunday. 5.5 furlongs on the Mellon Turf course. Nice field here, too. There's a main track only. I don't know what they're going to do with this race. Bobby, what did you do in here?
I went to number 4, Going Good, who I think would run well, whether it's on the turf or move to the main track. She's run well on turf and dirt in the past. Very consistent type and coming off a nice win in a tough allowance race on the turf at Churchill in her last start. Gaffleone already off to a nice start at the Saratoga meet, and I think he's going to have Going Good in a good spot. She can show speed, but she can also pass other runners.
Yeah, I didn't finish handicapping this race because I want to kind of wait for the weather. Then that's not being a cop-out. I think Star Divine has a chance on the turf. I think Honey Pants, who's cross-entered in a stakes race at Monmouth, has a chance. I thought Bye Bye had a chance. Wink coming in for trainer Wesley Ward could win. I thought it was a wide-open race. I gotta hold off. I can't give you a pick in here. It's too tough a race. With a gun to my head, I would say Bye Bye, just getting back to the turf sprints, but I want to wait and see what this weather looks like up here. Bobby likes Going Good. I like Bye Bye. If it comes off the turf, I would imagine Mischieful, number 2, is going to be awful tough with that big win. 91 buyer, she ran an 88, 3 starts back behind Inject, who's a minor stakes winner. So we'll see what happens. Race 9 on Sunday goes as that Coronation Cup here at the Spa. The Connaught Cup goes as race 7 at Woodbine on Sunday. 7/8 on the outer, on the big course, if you will. This is an interesting bunch of horses, that I can tell you.
This is a really good bunch of horses and a tough race to handicap here. There are several that have a win. I can't imagine somebody just blowing this field away. I'm going to try number 3, Olympic Runner, who Mark Cassie has tried to make a go of it during the winters here in the States. And the simple fact is this horse isn't as good down here as he is up there. His races up north of the border are very, very good. He can pass other runners. You know, he doesn't win a ton of races, but he's been in the money more than half of his starts, and I think there's going to be some pace in this race. I look for Olympic Runner to come running, and I just think we're going to see a different Olympic Runner with him getting back north of the border to his home base of Woodbine.
All right, Olympic Runner. Yeah, this was a doozy. I thought this was a doozy. Holiday Stone came with a race last time out at Belmont Park that he hadn't put forth in a very, very long time. Proven Strategy is going to be on the front end. I wonder what happens going 7/8 on that big course for him. There's some speed inside of him, too. Tap It to Win. Tap It to Win's an interesting one. He's going to get his Lasix back. And he's a horse. He not only lost his form, he lost his speed without his Lasix, really. He's got one turf race. It was the first start of his career. And he got beat 3 lengths as a 2-year-old. I don't know if he can make the lead, but he was a little interesting to me in here. I ultimately went with Holiday Stone because it looks like there's some speed on, and he came with a race last time in a second start for George Weaver. I'm going to try Holiday Stone. But like I said, 3 or 4 of these, Tap It to Win is the interesting horse. You just got to see horses like him who have a little stakes face. They usually get overbet. I would worry about that, not knowing how much he's going to like the surface. But those would be the two for me, Tap It to Win and Holiday Stone. Holiday Stone will be the top pick. Race number 7 goes as the grade 2.
By the way, don't want to cut you off here, but let's not forget, there were people out there, a lot of people, that thought Tappet to win could beat Tis the Law in the Belmont Stakes back in 2020. Those people are not on this show right now, but Tappet to win was only 5-1 in the Belmont Stakes. So, you know, he obviously is a talented horse. It's just whether or not that talent's going to reemerge in the Connaught Cup.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. That is a good point. We'll see how it all shakes up in the Connaught Cup north of the border at Woodbine. The Grade 3 Cougar the Second wraps things up. Mile and a half on Sunday at Del Mar for opening weekend. Tis a Magician figures to be a short favorite. He ran into a buzzsaw in Lone Rock in the Brooklyn last time out after getting off very, very poorly. A clean break, and you would imagine that he's going to have an easy time with these horses.
Well, I think he's going to have an easy time getting to the lead. I don't necessarily agree he's going to have an easy time with these horses. He's the one to beat. I mentioned that Haywood's Beach was entered in both the San Diego and the Cougar, too. I think he should scratch out of Saturday's race, opting for Sunday, and I think his races, his good races, would give Tis a Magician and the others all they can handle. That race going a mile and a quarter against allowance foes two starts back at Santa Anita, I think would beat this field. I think he'll be laying closest to Tis a Magician, and if anyone's going to beat the favorite, I think it'll be Haywood's Beach. I'm going to put him on top. I wouldn't count it as an upset because I think he's going to be somewhere around 5-2.
Okay. I thought this was all Tis a Magician, but hey, listen, I'm never going to knock you for trying to take a swing against a horse that you think is vulnerable. I like Tis a Magician, but that doesn't mean he has to win. So you get it all done on Sunday in the Grade 3 Cougar the Second. All right, time now for the Naira Betts Best Bet.
This is the Naira Betts Best Bet.
Where'd you land, Mr. Newman?
I'm going to Haskell Day at Monmouth Park, but not the Haskell Invitational. Instead of the United Nations, Grade 1, a mile and 3/8 on the turf. I think number one, Arklow, not only has the class, he's going to have the pace scenario he wants. He's got a nice inside post. And plain and simply, I think he's just better than these horses. Arklow, for me, in the United Nations.
All right. I am going to be a chalk-eating weasel. I'm going to go back to Saratoga, the first race we covered. I thought Wit was the goods. And in that Grade 3 Sanford, I think he has those horses over the proverbial barrel. If he's got to worry about Candy Landing, no offense to you and the others who like Candy Landing, I think they're all running for second money. I think Wit is a cinch tomorrow in the Grade 3 Sanford here at Saratoga. Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment, comes your way tomorrow at 8 a.m. Eastern Time. Champion trainer Chad Brown looks back on another Belmont training title and shares his thoughts on Saturday at Saratoga. He'll look for his seventh Diana, sixth in a row with Pocket Square and Lemister. Doug O'Neill discusses Haskell favorite Hot Rod Charlie. Fizzy Tipton president and CEO Boyd Browning Jr. discusses a strong July sale and looks ahead to the Saratoga sale in a couple of weeks. Byron King from Blood Horse updates the latest on the Bob Baffert situation in New York and handicaps that Grade 1 Diana. Plus Kurt Becker's stroll through racing history presented by Lane Zen and Keeneland. Our industry star of the week presented by Stuart Morris. And we go in the room with Sean Clancy. The show that launched the network, the Equine Forum, tomorrow morning, 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern, Sirius 219, XM 201. Stream it live on your home for all of racing's biggest events at horseracingradio.net. Bobby Newman and Jude Feld will be in this time slot next week. I'm taking Friday off. Be fun to do this program with Jude, my man.
Looking forward to doing this program. Looking forward to doing the race day program from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time with Jude. Jude's got a lot of fans out there, and he is heavily involved when it comes to handicapping Saratoga and Del Mar.
Yes, he is. Bobby Newman and Jude Feld bring you all the action next Friday here on the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts. That'll do it for this week's episode. You can take a listen to this podcast form. Jimmy Ryerson was on Trainer Talk, presented by Fizzy Tipton, Prisoner.com, call-in show. Bobby filled in there as well with me, all up at Horse Racing Radio. Bet365.net, where you'll tune in to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine tomorrow morning. For Bobby Newman and Lee Delapina, I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile. I hope you have a lucky night. I hope you win all your photo finishes. Enjoy opening weekend at both Saratoga and Del Mar. We'll talk to you Wednesday. Until then, have a great night, HRRN.